Yes, hallelujah. What a Savior. You and I who know Him as Savior have so much to rejoice in this evening. As we turn to the preaching of the gospel, let's bow very briefly in prayer and ask God for His help. Heavenly Father, we turn now to the scriptures before us, and we pray that the Holy Spirit Himself will teach us those things Thou would have us learn and know. We pray that our minds will be enlightened, that the Lord Himself will be heard, that man might be hidden behind the cross, so that none would be seen, save the Lord and the Lord alone. We pray, Lord, this evening, that God the Holy Spirit will teach each of us and reveal to us many things from Thy Word. And again we ask, should there be any who as yet know Thee not as Savior, may the Holy Spirit do that work of regeneration that He alone can do, and bring such to a saving knowledge of Thee. O Lord, we pray that each heart will be blessed through the Scriptures, and we ask now for help to rightly divide Thy Word of Truth. Touch these weak, stammering lips, that they might utter that which Thou would have them utter. May Thou who wert pleased to take the base, the weak and the despised things of this world, to use in accordance with Thy will, take now this weak vessel and make him Thy messenger in Thy message. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
As we turn to the Gospel by Luke chapter 19 and to that portion that we read together, we find the Lord Jesus riding triumphantly into Jerusalem. And yet, as we think of this event recorded here in Scripture, there is such a sad note attached to it. And indeed, such is the sadness surrounding the occasion that the Lord Himself weeps over the city of Jerusalem. In verse 41, we read, and when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it. And the reason, well, he gives in the verses that follow, but at the end of verse 44, we read these words, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. The Lord indeed had come to Jerusalem. He had come as the promised Messiah, the one indeed of whom the prophets had written and spake, the one that is seen and was seen throughout the Word of God. And yet he came on to his own, and his own received him not. And he came to and entered Jerusalem, but they knew not the time of God's visitation. And I want to leave just a few thoughts with you this evening in the gospel, as the Lord himself would give utterance. As I look at the Lord Jesus, I think of the passion which he displayed. In verse 41 we read, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. When I think of the Lord Jesus at the grave of Lazarus, we read that Jesus wept. To the extent that those Jews that were gathered around said, see how he loved him. And the Lord was a man full of love and compassion. And as he stood at the grave of Lazarus, and no doubt his heart was going out to Mary and Martha, he saw in that graveyard, he saw on the grave of Lazarus the results of sin. And he wept. And no doubt the Lord was considering the many who were entering the graveyard of death without him and without hope. And he was going to resurrect Lazarus. And yet his heart was breaking because he saw in the death of Lazarus the awful results of Adam's fall into sin. And here we find him again. And he's looking over the city of Jerusalem. And nothing takes Almighty God by surprise. Oh, they have been singing his praises. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But the Lord's not fooled. He knows that within a few days there'll be dragging him outside of that city to nail him to a cross, despising and rejecting him. And in love he looks over Jerusalem and he weeps, and he's not weeping for himself, much as though he can see all that he's going to have to endure. But he's weeping for a city under judgment. This verse demonstrates the love of Christ for sinners like you and me. When we think that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we have all transgressed the law of God. And yet God in love considers sinners. He remembers sinners. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, into this world to save sinners. And as the Savior of sinners looks over the city of Jerusalem and he's weeping, I was thinking of as to why he was weeping. Well, there was the transgressions which he witnessed. In verse 41 we read, he beheld the city. And it wasn't just a matter of looking over Jerusalem and seeing there the temple and all the homes and buildings. No, the Lord wasn't just focusing on bricks and mortar. He was looking into that city and he could see everything that was going on. And he could see into every heart in that city. And he saw the sin of the city. And he saw the need of the people. And he knew, as he looked into that quagmire of sin, that if those poor souls continued in their sin and left this world in their sin, they would be lost and lost forever. And he wept for them. He wept over Jerusalem. Oh, when I think of the Lord weeping over Jerusalem in the light of the transgressions which he witnessed, the sin that he saw, for sin is any lack of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. And as the Lord beheld the city, he beheld all the sin of that city. And it grieved and it vexed him. But it grieved and vexed him to think of how many there in Jerusalem would not receive him and would perish eternally in their sins. There's the transgressions which he witnessed. And you know, he knows everything about you and everything about me. Maybe there are certain things that we would like to sweep under the mat. That which we wouldn't want another to know about. And yet the Lord knows your heart and he knows my heart. He knows your life and he knows my life. There's nothing about me that the Lord doesn't know. There's nothing about you that he doesn't know. There was nothing that day going on in Jerusalem that the Lord wasn't aware of. He beheld the city. And then I think of the tears that he wept. In verse 41, he wept over it. Over that sinful place. Yes, the sin of Jerusalem grieved and vexed his holy heart. And the fact that he knew that their sin had to be punished saddened his heart and vexed him, for he loved them. If there's one here this evening and you're unsaved, still in your sins, the fact is that your sins grieve the Lord of glory. They grieve the Savior. And the Lord was grieved as he looked over that city. And he was grieved by the sin of the city. Ah, but when he thought of the end result of that sin, it indeed brought him to tears. Because he saw that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And the Lord knew that those sins would be punished eternally in hell. And the thought of those souls carrying on in their sins, lifting up their eyes in a lost eternity, touched his loving heart. And you know, when the Lord sees men and women unprepared for eternity, unrepentant as far as their sin is concerned, he is vexed and he is grieved. And Isaiah, the great prophet in chapter 53 and verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And the tears that the Lord shed that day over Jerusalem, they indeed demonstrated the love that he had for them. And the concern that the Savior had for a perishing people. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world. That whosoever believeth in him, put his or her trust in him, and his finished work on the cross, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we find that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Tell me this evening, are you saved from your sin? There was the passion which he, the Lord, displayed. But then there was the peace which he offered. In verse 42, he was saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. Here is the Lord Jesus, and he's entered Jerusalem as the Prince of Peace. But the peace that he offered was hid from their eyes. The people of Jerusalem, oh, they were looking for some great king. Some great warrior king who would rout the Romans, who would drive those occupying armies out of their land. One who would restore again the kingdom to Israel. And as carnal men and women, they were thinking carnally. And they couldn't understand that the Lord's kingdom was not of this world. That his kingdom was a heavenly kingdom. That his kingdom was a peaceful kingdom. That his kingdom would be inhabited by those who knew the peace of God in their hearts. And he weeps over that city and he says, if thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. And the things, he's really saying, which can bring you peace. But now they are hid from your eyes. And Satan has blinded them. And of course, Satan, the god of this world, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Lest the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The Lord was offering peace. Peace in all its fullness, and they couldn't grasp why he had come. And you know, he's still offering peace to troubled hearts. He offers peace from the power of sin. You know, when we think of men, women, and young people, they cannot deliver themselves from the power of sin. They cannot find peace because of the power of sin over their lives and over their hearts. Many people have tried to turn over a new leaf. They have tried to overcome their besetting sins. And they have failed time after time. And they have found no real peace in their heart. They know nothing of being able to live each day at rest in their souls. And yet the Lord, he offers peace from the power of sin. In the Gospel of John chapter 1 and verse 12 we read, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, or if you like, the authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. He transforms men, women, and young people. He makes them anew. Where once sin had power over them, they have now a God-given victory over sin. Peace from the power of sin. And yet so many are like the men and women of Jerusalem, they can't see Christ as the only one who can bring peace to their troubled hearts and troubled lives. And he offers peace when we consider the penalty of sin. What is the penalty of sin? Well, in Romans 6:23, the Apostle Paul makes it clear that the wages of sin, the penalty of sin, the end result of sin is death, eternal death and hell. And our sins must be accounted for. Either they will be laid to Christ's account, as we think of Christ hanging there on the cross, dying the just for the unjust, to bring his people to God. We find that there on the cross, he redeemed a people unto himself. Tell me, can you say this evening, I know that I am redeemed, and my sins have been laid on Christ's account. Are you still facing the penalty of sin yourself? Are you still being chained by sin? Are you still on free, never been freed from the penalty of sin, and it's still hanging over you? Oh, there is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think of the Lord and all that he endured there at Calvary, he offers peace to men and women. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. And you know you'll never have peace, my friend, until you're at peace with God. And you never will be at peace with those around you, in any real sense of the word, until you are at peace with God. Are you at peace with God? And the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our peace. And he is the Prince of Peace, who gives peace to all those who put their trust in him. And then I want you to see the privilege which they enjoyed. Here were a people in Jerusalem, and they were privileged beyond measure. What a privileged people they were. Christ was come into their midst. Here they were in Jerusalem, and the Lord is weeping over that city, for he knows the condition of their hearts. But he comes to the very place where they sit in their sin. They are privileged. The Savior of the world. The promised Messiah. God the Son, veiled in a body of flesh, has come to Jerusalem, to undeserving sinners. And he has beheld their sin. And he knows everything about every heart. And yet the Lord has come. And he says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The Lord is here this evening. You and I are privileged in the same way. My friend, if you're here and you're not saved, you're privileged like the men and women of Jerusalem of being in the Lord's company. The Lord is visiting. He has said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So the Lord is here this evening, just as he visited Jerusalem, and those people were privileged by his visit. He's in this building tonight, and we are a privileged people to have him here. And you know, his visit to Jerusalem was eternally ordained. It had been ordained of God from all eternity that Christ at this time should enter Jerusalem. The privilege which these people were now enjoying had been planned by Almighty God from all eternity. And it was verified in prophecy. The prophet Zechariah wrote in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, approximately 520 years before the Lord was riding into Jerusalem. Yes, 520 years approximately. Zechariah had written, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And the Lord is riding into Jerusalem. And on that very creature that Zechariah had prophesied of 500 years plus before. Now the Lord has come. And they were familiar with the scriptures. And there were many men in Jerusalem who were well read in the scriptures and religious men. And yet the Lord has come. They're privileged beyond measure, and they're so spiritually blind they can't see him for who he is. And this visit by the Lord was eternally ordained. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, to go to that cross of Calvary to redeem sinners. It was eternally ordained. And it was entirely undeserved. These people did not deserve the privilege of having the Lord visit them. When I think of the day that the Lord spoke to me, the 23rd of September 1979, an undeserving sinner that deserved nothing but the wrath of God. A foolish young man sold out to Satan and sin. My just deserts would have been hell forever. And yet the Lord drew alongside me. And by his Holy Spirit and through his Holy Spirit, he spoke to my sinful, dark, vile heart. He visited me. Did I deserve such a visit? No. Had he come to me pouring out wrath and casting me into a lost eternity, I would have deserved that. But he came in love and compassion to this undeserving sinner and saved him in grace. You know, you and I are no different from the men and women of Jerusalem. They didn't deserve the Lord's company. Neither do we. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we had been getting our just deserts, we wouldn't be found in a gospel service this evening. We would be found already in a lost eternity. But oh, what a privilege to hear the voice of God. Jesus was coming. Jesus had arrived in Jerusalem. He was visiting them, just as he's visiting here this evening. And they're going to hear his voice, and he's going to challenge them as he challenges you and me. And then, as I look at verse 42, there was a period that was limited, a very limited period. If thou had known, even thou at least in this thy day. This was their day. Their day. The day of opportunity for the city of Jerusalem. He wouldn't be coming this way again. This was the time accepted. It was Solomon who said in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And when we talk of seasons and times, you know, we might talk about springtime or summertime or wintertime. When we think of seasons and times, we're talking about a limited period of time. And you know, when we think of God's salvation, and God comes and speaks to men and women, but you and I are in this world for a very short period of time at most. And God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. That's why he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart. Why? Because the day of grace is a very short day. The season of opportunity is short. It was going to be very short for the men and women of Jerusalem. And in Isaiah 1 and verse 18, we read those words, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord." Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year. "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." As I think of this period that was limited, in this thy day it was a short time. And it was a single time. The time of thy visitation. The Lord wasn't talking here about times, he was talking about the time. The city was getting this season of opportunity. Maybe I'm looking at someone here this evening. God has been more than gracious toward you. Maybe you've had numerous occasions. You can recall numerous occasions. When you heard the voice of God, when you sat under the sound of the Word of God, when God the Holy Spirit challenged you concerning your sinnership and your need of Christ. And it's not just a matter of a one-off visit, as the Lord was visiting Jerusalem here. The Lord maybe is drawn alongside you on many occasions. Not just a single time, but many times. You know, someone said, no man deserves to hear the gospel twice until the whole world has heard it once. Maybe you have heard it more than once. Still, you're like the men and women of Jerusalem. You remain in your sins. You know, the city of Jerusalem, they were getting this opportunity. And it wasn't going to last forever. I remember as a young preacher, an old man who had been around the course, as it were, more times than a greyhound. Oh, he'd been preaching for years. And he said to me, "Son, when you preach the gospel, preach it simply, for someone might be hearing it for the first time. And he says, preach it solemnly, for someone might be hearing it for the last time." The day of opportunity, the season when God visits, it doesn't last forever. And then there's the provision which they rejected. And what a provision God was making for Israel in Jerusalem in the person of the Lord Jesus. He was the Messiah of the Scriptures. He was the fulfillment of all the promises. He was the Anointed One, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For centuries, Jerusalem had longed for this day. And now that it had come, they couldn't grasp it. They couldn't see it for what it was. They were blinded by sin. And they rejected the Messiah that the God of heaven had provided. He came as the King of the Jews. The only crown he received from them was a crown of cruel eastern thorns. The only throne they would afford him was the altar of the cross. And they cried out, as Pilate cried out, "Behold your King. Behold your King," they replied, "crucify him." He came on to his own. His own received him not. And the Lord is presented this evening as the King. What is your response this evening, my friend, to Christ the King? Is it any different to that response afforded by the people of Jerusalem? Perhaps not. The Messiah of the Scriptures is presented here. The provision that they rejected. And they were rejecting their means of salvation. Here was Christ, the one that had come to save his people Israel. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, was the message of the angels to Joseph, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall save his people from their sins, and they rejected him. Peter and John, in Acts, the book of the Acts chapter 3 and 4, as they healed the lame man at the beautiful gate of the temple. And the Sadducees and the priests were angry with the two servants of God. What did Peter remind them of? What they had done. In Acts 4 and verse 10, Peter says to those Christ-rejecting Jews, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, oh, he puts it in the line to them, this is the Christ whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. That poor man that they had raised up was delivered by the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And those men and women of Jerusalem had rejected their only means of salvation. And salvation is in the blood of Christ alone. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. And then with this I finish. Very quickly, there's the punishment that then followed. In verses 43 and 44, the Lord speaks to them and he's been weeping. And in 43 and 44, for the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and they shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. They rejected Christ. They cried outside Pilate's hall, his blood be on us and on our children. Oh, what awful words. You know, sadly, the people of that nation have reaped the awful results of those words for centuries. His blood be on us and on their children. In AD 70, the city was totally destroyed by the Romans, as the Lord had said. For Christ's rejection is always punished. He came as the Prince of Peace to bring peace. They rejected the one who had come. And you know, when I think of that punishment, it was merciless. For God never shows mercy to those who reject his Son. And the city was burned with fire without mercy. But worse still, those souls that had rejected the Savior, they were cast into a lost eternity where there's no mercy. It was merciless. It was measureless. You know, when we think of all that the Jewish people have endured, even as we think of the last century, during the Second World War, as we think of even today in many regions where they are a persecuted people, they are still bearing the consequences of their Christ rejection. His blood be on us and on our children. But let's not point the finger at them. Because men and women, young people in this land of ours, that have sat under the sound of the gospel of Christ for years, they treat the Savior no differently. They despise and reject him like the Jews of old. And so we're not pointing the finger at the men and women of Jerusalem. If I had been there that day in Jerusalem, sinner that I am, I would have been no different to the rest. But for the grace of God. But the fact is that here is the punishment. It was merciless. It was measureless. Who can think of hell? Hell for the Christ rejecter, where there is no mercy. And the punishment of hell knows no measurement. Oh, my friends, may you be wise. And may you recognize the day of your visitation. May the Lord call you to himself in repentance and in saving faith to the Christ who died and whose blood was shed to atone for sin. May the Lord bless his word to every heart this evening. Amen.